Today's episode is in partnership with California Love K-Pop Dreaming. How did K-pop transcend continents to become the global sensation it is today? Host Vivian Yoon shares the history of how the genre came to dominate the charts and explores her own story of what it means to be a Korean-American today. Listen to California Love K-Pop Dreaming from LAS Studios wherever you listen to podcasts.
Thank you, Ashley, and welcome back to Idol Talk, where we explore South Korean pop culture one obsession at a time. My name is Nathan, and I'm your host.
Hey, everyone. I'm Ashley, and I just want to give a song recommendation today. Please stream BTS's The Planet. It's so good, and I don't know. I haven't done any research on the origins of the song. Yeah, this isn't a K-Bops episode,
I'm not doing
any research here, but just from like the English lyrics, aka The Planet is what they say a lot, the name of the song. I feel like it's about like global warming, saving the earth type of shit. So I don't know, whatever, it's a bop. Please stream.
All right. Hey, everyone. It's Gabe. And before I kind of get into my intro, I just wanted to say that Dreamcatcher did do a global warming concept already.
They did.
Their first win was with the song Maison, which is about like saving our home, the earth. So shout out to them for, you know, being the pioneers.
pioneers is a little bit strong, but go ahead. I'll give you this moment.
And to commemorate, I'm also wearing my Dreamcatcher shirt.
Nice.
That I picked up off the ground in front of the venue in Oakland.
Wait, what?
What? You didn't buy it?
Oh, no, I didn't buy it. I literally just was walking, like, after the concert, and I saw, like, this piece of cloth on the ground. I was like, oh, what's that? And it was the Dreamcatcher shirt.
Is it official merch?
Yeah, it is.
Oh, so someone just dropped it.
Someone just dropped it. Yeah, it was in a puddle too, so like I just picked it up and like washed it and then
okay.
Come up.
But yeah, and then now for the actual news. I've booked my accommodations and flights to Korea for November. I'm gonna be there from November 2nd to December 2nd. So it's
Wow, you're gonna have a great time. Extended stay.
A full 4 weeks. I like got an apartment.
Wow.
Everything. So.
You by yourself? And you're gonna stay in one place the whole time?
Yep.
Okay. I have a lot of questions upon your return. One of which is, because I know you're gonna go to these things, I want to know what Korean locals listen to at the club.
Okay, I'll have to see if I can even get in, because there's a lot of clubs where like they don't let people who don't speak Korean in.
You can go to Itaewon.
What? Yeah. That's interesting. It's like a citizens only club.
Sort of, yeah. I've heard that, and there's like others where.
Or I guess
it's a little bit hard to navigate social life in like other country in foreign countries,
especially if you don't know the language.
It's like how would you get into a Vegas club on the list if you didn't know people?
That
would be hard, right?
You would just have to pay. But I just want to know if they listen to like top 50 Korean music or if they listen to like other stuff. You know, like, am I gonna hear New Jeans and IVE?
Or in the dramas, like, they go for the electric music. Like, it's electric beat music, I feel like.
Yeah. I mean, I will definitely do my research, because I know that there are, like, K-pop clubs, and then there's, like, others that are, like, more just, like, normal clubs and stuff. But I think people in East Asia really like progressive house.
Mm.
Like, that's the type of music that we were all listening to in like 2012 to 2014. Like, you know, Zedd.
Yeah.
Clarity, like that. And like Martin Garrix.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
They really like that kind of stuff.
So there must be like Korean electronic artists.
I think so. I don't know. I'll have to, I will look though.
Yes, this is important for me because I'm actually going to Korea next year. And that's like one of the first things I want to do. Like,
wait, you're going to Korea too, Ashley? I want to come.
Yeah. Well, I'm going for, Mitch has to go for work. And I'm tagging.
Oh, so you're going along. Okay.
I'm tagging along because the hotel is free.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
Because it would be the same cost if it was one person.
Yeah.
Like, wait, how long are you gonna
what they're covering.
Probably a week.
You should just extend it. Like, they can pay for the first half, and then you guys can just, like, tack on, another thing.
That's what Mitch wants to do. So, Mitch is my husband, and for anyone listening, he wants to do, because he's never been to Korea, so he doesn't know how nice it is. He wants to go back to Japan, like, do the trip in Korea and then do a second half in Japan. But I'm like, Korea is fucking awesome. It's just as nice as Japan. So maybe I can convince him to just like stay in Korea because there's a lot to explore there.
There is a lot to explore.
Yeah. So listeners, if you have any recommendations for things to do, time is really not a limiting factor because I'm going to be there for 4 weeks. So I'll be working kind of like as I'm there, but yeah.
My hope for you is that you attend the show.
SBS MTV The Show.
That is Gabe's like ride or die music show. He supports the people on the show. You know, you got a lot of diversity of artists going on there in early stages of their career.
Yes, all the new goos are going to be there.
Yes. That's really important that you go because I would also like to go and I want to know the process of like getting in, you know, like,
yeah. Is it an online sign up? I feel like out of all of the shows, that one's probably the easiest to get in.
Right, exactly. So you have a shot.
Yeah. Okay, I'll look into that.
All right. Thank you to all of our listeners for tuning into this episode. We are back with our series, Hot Take, Hot Talk. And we kind of like have a hodgepodge of different issues that have been going on in the K-pop world. And we kind of wanted to discuss some of them. Some of them have been, you know, a little bit spicy. So, you know, Idol Talk Pods always bring in the heat with some of these. So we're just going to each introduce one interesting issue that's been going on. We'll just have a discussion. So Ashley, did you want to start us off today?
Yes. So my topic is going to be about EXO-CBX and their request to terminate their contract with SM Entertainment. It's been, I mean, I mentioned this in the last episode, the drama is mostly over now, everything is resolved, but I just wanted to recap for like historical purposes, like what was going on there, because it was a scary time, you know, like three primary members of EXO potentially leaving the group ahead of their full comeback, like heartbreaking. Anyway. So some background on it. The whole drama lasted about 2 weeks, maybe 2.5 weeks from June 1st to June 18th. And the majority of it happened like just at the beginning and at the end. And then in between, there were a lot of like internal discussions. And then at the end, they were like, okay, everything's resolved. But the basis of their request for termination is two part. So through EXO-CBX's lawyers, they argued that one, they were forced into contract, like slave contracts that included, that were about 17 to 18 years. And per the like Korean Trade Association or whatever government organization, fair trade, whatever, labor association, standard contract is 7 years. So 17 to 18 years is like extremely long. And they argued that upon getting an exclusive contract with SM when they were trainees, they signed a 13-year contract, and then they SM abused their power as like mighty like SM to get them to re-up their contract for another 5 years. And they were really upset by that because they felt like it wasn't advantageous to them, you know, like they felt trapped in their contract. They couldn't really explore other avenues, like they had to stay within the bounds of their contract. And the second part of their request was that they didn't have any like visibility into the finances of their revenue. Like, I guess it's a thing at the company where twice a year the artists are supposed to see all of the revenue that they've generated for the company, you know, so they can make they can be more educated about like their value and
the company, right?
Their value, and then they could use that as like a renegotiating point, you know. But since they started their contract, they've never received it, and they've been trying to get these documents since March, and they haven't gotten it. So they were like, "Yo," they probably like timed it like specifically right before their contract, so that like all so.
That and maybe, the comeback too.
And the comeback, so that SM's hand was forced to do something. But yeah, so those were the two main points of their lawsuit. SM initially responded by saying like, there's a third party vendor out there that's trying to incept these artists and trying to get them to sign on to their label, and that's why like that company is feeding them misinformation, and this whole thing is not good, like our artists are being lied to, there's a big problem here. And the third party vendor that they were accusing was like trying to incept the CBX minds was a person over at Big Planet Made.
Wait, sorry, is this allegedly, or is it like, oh, this person's from Big Planet Made?
No, this is like, SM sent them like a cease and desist because they were like, yo, we have substantial evidence that you are trying to like spread misinformation. You're trying Got to it. poach our artists. So you need to stop.
Okay, that's the company of BBs.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So this is not this is a big like ish company. Like it's not a no-name company.
The person specifically at Big Planet Made was MC Mong. I don't know. He's like a big dude over at that company, but according to a statement by Big Planet Made, they were like, MC Mong only met with his junior colleagues as friends, and he didn't try to recruit them. Like, fucking chill out, SM, you know? Like, we're not trying to do anything shady here. We're just meeting up with our homies. So SM was like, no, you're trying to get these artists from us. Stop that. And they were like, no, dude, you got it all wrong.
But also is a little not poaching, but is a little, you know, asking wrong if they could give them a better deal.
Right.
Anyways, okay, we can get into that.
Yeah. So SM accused this company of poaching them. The company denied it. And then ExoCBX released another full statement, like, detailing those two points that I made earlier and why they want, like, why these are big problems for them. And what I learned in that is that I learned a little bit about SM history with other groups, and how this is a problem that has happened before, specifically with TVXQ and Jessica Jung from Girls' Generation. I learned that with TVXQ, they had like a whole 4-year legal battle that led to 3 members terminating their contract. And it was because the basis of that lawsuit was like they were in a slave contract and they weren't getting paid fairly. And they weren't getting shared information about their profits, and they were getting underpaid. Like each member of TVXQ at the height of their career was getting paid $130,000. Like, what the fuck?
Oh, that's just like a professional white collar salary in the US.
I know, right? And this is them at the height of their career. So yeah, within that CBX statement, they cited TVXQ and was like, per
okay,
this
Esquire Ashley yeah. coming in here.
Yeah, like per this lawsuit that happened, like this has happened before and this isn't like new stuff. So yeah. Anyway. So that all happened June 1st. And then things got quiet a little bit. So between June 1st, actually on June 2nd, they released another statement through their lawyers saying that, like, even though we're suing SM to get out of our contracts, we still really love XOLs and we don't want to stop XO activities. So, like, we're trying to figure it out. Basically trying to reassure everyone that like they're open-minded to like renegotiations. So 16 days later, we hear like no news in between. Then June 18, yesterday, or I guess today in Korea, I don't know what day it is in Korea, but like recently, within the last 24 hours, SM releases a statement saying that, like, okay, everything's resolved now. We figured it out with the artists. So, yeah. They're saying that they're still going to be contracted with EXO. They decided to carry out activities, and they're going to make revisions to the contract. We're sorry to the third-party vendor for accusing you of trying to poach our people. That was a misunderstanding.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay, so Ashley, what is your thoughts? What are your thoughts on this?
My thoughts are that, so in the last episode, we had joked a little bit about how this is just them trying to get a pay raise, to some extent it is, you know, like they're trying to make
what they think that they're worth.
Right.
Just like the rest of us doing white collar, blue collar work.
Right. And if the company's obligated to give them those financial statements so they can understand their worth to the company and they're not getting them, like, yeah, be mad about it because that's your right to have it. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's more than just a pay raise here, because the contract is extremely long, 16 to 17 or 17 to 18 years. They can't pursue
because they did the two contracts, right? The one right after the one renewal.
Yeah. So it's, and they kept citing in all of their different statements, like, we know that it's just not us that are having this issue. Like, if it's happening to us, it's probably happening to other people else at the company. So I applaud them for being brave and courageous to be the people to like stand up against their company. And overall, I'm really glad that they resolved it. Because SM, like, not that SM needs them, but like, I need them to stay together at SM.
I do too.
Even if they did leave, though, like I feel like having part of EXO gone like
Yeah,
that
that's
would still
big.
be a big hit, you know?
They wouldn't be
Yeah.
EXO anymore, I feel.
Yeah. I think no company is contingent, or no company is that fully dependent on one, two, or three artists, or that's how you would want your to structure your company,
Yeah.
right? So I do agree with Ashley's sentiment that like no one thing makes up the entire company, but I do think that this would have been like a huge sea change if, like, when I first saw that, I was like, what do I do? Like, is this my? I was joking around with the host like 2 weeks ago, and about 6 months ago, I had this thought creep into my head, like, after all of the acquisition, or not acquisition, but all the hype stuff that was going on with Lee Simon, I was
Yeah.
like, is this the end of it? Like, is this the end of it? And then it wasn't. Everything was fine. And then this was the second minor shock in my K-pop life. I was like, EXO was my gateway into K-pop. Like, without them in SM, like, what is my identity?
I know. And it's not that SM is my identity, it's that EXO is my identity, and I
Here,
need them to
XOL.
stay all together. And I want them, but I still want them to get paid fairly and to have like legally binding contracts that are fair. So,
Right.
such a struggle being a
It's still
fan.
crazy to me that, like, there's people, like, there's probably people in my office who make, like, double the money as the EXO members before this, like,
Well,
renegotiation thing.
I think that, like, that's really, it's like hard, like, I think in that life, to think about like only quote unquote salary or whatever you're bringing in, because you're getting all these like endorsements and things like that, right? In tennis, right, Gabe? Like, oh, they don't actually make that much for winning. It's everything that they get because they win is what pays the bills, right? So, yes, I think that ultimately the big takeaway from all of this is, hey, your damn artists. These
Yeah.
people are like generating revenue for you, like a lot for you. And
Yeah.
ultimately, the fans are going to continue to send protest trucks outside your company until you change. So these people are not
Yeah.
backing down
And
at the
treat
end
your
of the day.
employees fairly. Like, if you say you're going to do something, provide financial statements, then just do that. Like,
Just do it. Because ultimately, a big planet made is gonna come in and try to buy them off of you. And if they can get a better deal, then why am I not gonna leave?
right. And they should leave.
So you better give EXO, at one point deemed Korea's boy group, what they're worth with their impending comeback. Great timing, by the way, CBX.
I know.
My question for both of you is, or for whoever, is why do you think it was only CBX though? Like, what about the rest of the members? Like, I don't know if anyone has any speculations about that. Like,
That's an interesting
is it
take.
that the rest of them just didn't want to, like, what is it called? Like, not rattled any, not rock the boat too much. Like, what is it? I don't know.
Maybe they all just had different contracts,
I mean, I'm
right?
sure they all do, but there are probably people that are less active and more active than the CBX members. So it's like, I think like Baekhyun is probably the highest, most public EXO member.
Yeah.
And then Suman is one of the like the least vis like the less visible members. And Chen's probably like somewhere in the middle, right? So it's like, this is not in popularity, just like how much work that they produce, right? So I wonder what their decision was to actually move forward publicly with this, like versus like crickets from some of the other members, like no
Yeah.
complaints, so to speak.
Yeah. I don't know.
I don't know. Maybe we should leave it up to our listeners to give us some opinions on that. But I mean, I'm one to say like all is well that ends well, but this is like another red flag, right? With places like SM, but also just big corporations, right? Because You know, it's that thing, that saying about gambling, right? Like the house always wins. Like ultimately, the corporations are going to try to look out for themselves. I will say the one bright light here is that there is a lot of accountability because the fans are the accountability. And the fans are the one that are going to like bring down or bring up, like whatever. Like they could bring down SM if they want to, quite frankly. Like Knets can do anything.
You know what I learned from the drama Extraordinary Attorney Woo?
Please, Ashley.
That
Relevant in Idle Talk Pod.
going public with your lawsuit is actually a tactic.
Right.
I'm sure they tried to settle this in-house,
Of course.
but like public opinion, once you start getting the public involved, then it becomes a whole big drama and they have to like act faster. Like whoever you're suing has to act faster.
Right. Once you go public with it, because now everyone knows. And in this case, like, I don't suspect that there's that much public opinion that moves for SM, right? In this case, pay your artists. This is not a controversial statement. Like,
It's not.
yeah. Anyways, okay, any other thoughts on this? Well, we're not gonna move too far out, so I'll just go ahead and go next. The hot take that I wanted, well, I don't know if, again, like, I don't know if I have any like huge hot takes on it, but the interesting event that I want to bring up also has to do with SM Entertainment and it has to do with the NCT universe. So a lot of things have been going on. So I'll start in February. So in February, when all the things with the HYBE issue were kind of clearing up, right? Actually, it was like kind of clearing up right around the time. So it was kind of clearing up. The CEOs of SM decided to release this statement about the future of NCT when they were trying to clarify what's going on with all of their groups. And I believe it was Casey like a year ago saying like, dang, they have a lot of they got a lot of artists, right, to take care of and lots going on in the oven here, right? So they decided and they released the statement that in February, this is February 24th, with NCT Tokyo's 2023 debut, NCT's infinite expansion concept will come to an end. So after that, there will be no more member changes and they will give full support to existing members. So no members will be added or, I mean, not taken away, but no members will be added. Expansion, right? And there were a lot of different, you know, opinions that people gave based off of that. But the NCT Tokyo thing was pretty much set in stone. I felt like after this, I didn't, you know, I didn't feel terribly shocked. The NCT universe was getting a little bit complicated in and of itself. So, you know, it was a really good close. They did like a whole bunch of activities together and they were already teasing this NCT Tokyo unit for months and months and months. And they've already performed together, for God's sake. I saw them at SMTOM Live in Suwon like last summer. So they were basically a thing. So that wasn't like at the end of February. Here's where it gets like a little bit complicated, which was after that, in and around May, all of a sudden I see on my feed, I see like Sung Chan and Shotaro trending. I was like, oh, that's interesting because they're not working. So what's going on? And we know that, like they're not in a group, they don't have a home. Like we're always curious about what they're doing, but like if they're trending, it's probably something not great. And my suspicions were confirmed. So at the end of May, not only did they decide to well, they decided in the statement in the end of May, they told the fans that NCT Tokyo would be the final unit, but it wouldn't be comprised of the members that were initially planned for it. And the big change up was that SM Entertainment announced that Sung Chan and Shotaro were departing from NCT to debut in a different boy group.
I knew that they were leaving NCT, but I didn't know this other information.
Yeah, so they're departing from NCT, and they are planned to debut in a new boy group.
Not an SM NCT. Boy group.
Not NCT.
Tokyo.
No.
Well, what about the other three dudes?
Are they still in SM?
They're still in SM.
Okay.
Yes.
What
Which
about
is
the
like,
other three?
I don't know about the other three. I think it might be like a full change up, but I don't know about the other three. I don't know about the other three. I don't know about the other three.
Okay.
So just talking about Sungchan and Shotaro, because they had to make statements, because the other ones never were on tracks. They had performed before, but they weren't in
NCT.
They're
still like rookies.
They were still rookies. So yeah, I didn't look into them as deeply. But Sungchan and Shotaro, as members of NCT that were on the 2020 album, right? And
right.
They were on two of the NCT album, like NCT full albums, right? So I'll go ahead and read some of the reactions that I saw that Shotaro and Sungchan released a statement. So this first one was from Shotaro. He said, "I want to say thank you so much to the fans who have supported me up until now. What gave me the most strength for my promotions as NCT was the existence of our fans. I also want to thank the NCT members who have cherished me like a family from when I joined up until now. I believe that all the precious experiences that I learned from promotions with NCT will be my strength to become an artist that you are all proud and unashamed of in my future activities." So that's what Shotaro said. And then he said, I'm going to be back. So there seems to have been some kind of contractual understanding. And I hope that Sungchan and Shotaro have great lawyers here. There seems to be some kind of contractual understanding that, like, yes, you're not going to be part of NCT anymore, but we're still going to guarantee you some kind of debut in the future. So, you know, that was definitely a mess.
Okay, so are they still going to debut NCT Tokyo?
It seems like they're still going to debut NCT Tokyo. So
potentially two groups, two upcoming boy groups.
NCT Tokyo, which is the last iteration of NCT,
right?
Last expansion. But the change is that Sungchan and Shotaro are not going to be part of this NCT Tokyo unit, right?
They're going to be somewhere else.
They're going to be somewhere else in the SM umbrella that is going to debut with another group. To be determined.
Interesting.
To be determined if this even happens this year. Because there's like 5 months of the year. Half of the year's left, so...
How long will they keep them shelved?
They've been shelved for a while.
Yeah.
Poor Sungchan's been shelved since he finished his Inkigayo gig. So
yeah, they built so much hype around those boys, and now what?
And I think, you know, NCTzens have come to value, like, oh, they do bring something new and interesting to the group. Or like we've gotten to know them a little bit, you know?
How long has it been? 2-3 years now?
I think it's been 2 years because I think Sungchan did it through the pandemic. And then Sungchan and Shotaro did the NCT Let's Play Ball album.
Resonance.
And they did Resonance, and then that was it.
This is giving like 10, when 10 debuted with the Fifth Sense,
or What Sense, whatever, Seventh Sense,
Seventh Sense, and then debuted like 4 years later with Wavy. Like, how long do we need to wait for him to get a real spot?
Yes, I don't know what master plan anyone has. If I had it my way, I'd just keep it simple. Like, I think NCT Tokyo was a good finish. One more. Sungchan and Shota were already doing Japanese promotions. one of your members is Japanese, like one of the members of NCT is like Japanese. Can we just have like a good finish here and then do like NCT 2023 full album and like call it a day, and then everyone like goes off and do their own thing? Like, but clearly someone has rethought this vision and probably thinks there's a bigger vision out there. I don't know. It's just hard for me to see, like, okay, Sungchan and I don't know, Haechan were like really close and they did performances together, and now Sungchan can't even wear the NCT name. Like, what? It feels a little strange to me
It is
because.
strange. You don't fucking debut somebody and then like say, oh, you're not gonna be debuted with them anymore. Like they announced them as members. There's so much change up in NCT, I can't handle it. Like even before when we were talking about NCT Dream making them a fixed unit,
Oh
like
gosh, here we go again, the three of us.
it's just too much. Like just settle on a fucking concept and move forward with it.
Ashley says this as a Dream's in and NCT's in everyone.
Yes.
Okay. Gabe, your thoughts.
Why didn't they just hit, like, the easy way out would have just been put them in a group, and then NCT Tokyo is the natural right there.
I know, it's like right there, so I don't understand.
I know it was so close too. They had a reality show with the five members.
Remember, we famously talked about how Sungchan was in tears in Japan,
Yes.
you know, on variety show, thinking about how much Shotaro has supported him through all of this, and
They're just tossing those boys around like playing cards, like just swapping them out here and there.
I will say though, I Shotaro never really
We
hit the
know.
mark with me from the beginning. So
Anyways, yes, fair. This is a hot take, hot talk episode.
like I can see why people may or may not have second thoughts about him being, you know.
I think that it's not second thoughts about him like
It's both of
having a
them.
debut spot. It's like, where are we gonna put them? It's like, can you just make up your mind? And here's where it's also hard for the artist because they're not in power. It's the same issue as what we were talking about with Ashley. Like, ultimately, the artists are usually not in power. So that's what makes it difficult. So I don't know. Do we create a union? I don't know what happens.
Union. No, never.
K-pop union.
You just have the BPM people pick them up.
I know. BPM, you listening? Yes, so that's happened with Sungchan and Shotaro. They're the plans from the company's perspective is to debut them in another completely separate group.
There's no like details about that
No,
new group.
there's there and nothing has really happened
Their
since.
contract better have started when they debuted with NCT. Or they could have renegotiated a new contract with the new debuted group.
Who knows?
Who
I just
knows?
don't like if you say, oh, we're gonna debut these two in like some new group with
Right.
zero detail, like that doesn't seem like that doesn't seem convincing that there it's actually gonna happen, you know?
That's why I said I hope that Sungchan and Shotaro have good lawyers because, again, you better have gotten that down in writing.
I know.
Anyways, okay, well, that's one part of my hot take. The second hot take is within that period of time. So I looked it up. It was like end of February, and then like two announcements about NCT. Expansion is stopping, end of February, end of May. The expansion is stopping, but Sungchan and Shotaro are not going to be part of this expansion. They're going to be part of something else. Midway through May, a statement comes out from SM and from at the time NCT and Wavy's Lucas that finally said, after our deliberation with Lucas, we made a mutual decision to part ways with that Lucas made a mutual decision to part ways with the group and to pursue his individual endeavors. Lucas also released a statement, you know, telling the fans that, you know, I have decided to leave. I hope you do support them. And I'm going to embark on my own thing. So that happened in May 10th. So between all of this, they are losing another member who is a big one. So Lucas is not.
Oh, wait, I thought you were going to say they're losing another member.
Oh, no. Well, I was, you know, in the no.
Because I thought it would have been win-win. Where has he been at?
Oh, well, okay. Well, Ashley, that hasn't happened. So
okay. Sorry, I got
no fake news here, guys.
No yeah, fake I know. News. I'm sorry.
I mean, you didn't say it.
Yeah.
Yes. So it does seem like SM has formally parted ways with Lucas. My take on it is, I said it already on the 2023 predictions episode or the 2022 roundup. I was like, if Lucas is not back by now, I think that he's done. And I'm checking that one off of my list as something that came true. And they released a statement in Korean, English, and Chinese, because that's what Lucas speaks. You know, we all know that Lucas's troubles happened when there were some girl issues. And I don't know, it's just, I don't know who was right and who was wrong in that situation, but I think that as a K-pop idol, you are a public figure. You get scrutinized heavier than others because you're in the public spotlight, and anyone could use anything against you. And sometimes it just doesn't, it comes up after you debut and these unfortunate things happen. I think Lucas is an integral part of NCT, but he has not been part of NCT for the last 2 years. And Wavy is trying to move forward. So I don't know. Ashley?
You know,
or
I get
Gabe,
it.
Go ahead.
Like, there, it is not easy to like be a public figure and have your life be scrutinized like that. And like, if there are things Lucas wants to do and like live his life how he wants it, and that conflicts with his career as an idol in SM and Wavy, then like, you know, I think the mutual decision point is probably true that like he didn't, like he probably came to a place where he's like, I don't want to keep doing this, and then the company was like, yeah, like we can't agree upon like a shared set of terms that we can all, you know, follow, and then the natural thing is just to leave the company. So I mean, I get it. There's the idol life is not easy, and you know, some people want to not do it anymore, and that's totally fine, I think, you know.
Ashley, you got a gloomy look on your face.
Yeah, it's just, I don't know. I feel like Lucas was an integral part of Wavy, and without him,
it's a hard path forward.
Yeah. I think that the other members are doing well for themselves. I think Xiaojun has really stepped up. Ten has really put the team on his back, you know. Because where's Win-Win? I don't know where he is. And yeah, I feel like it's just tough roads ahead for them.
Interesting. I think if you were to have an unfiltered interview from the members that you just talked about, I think they would agree with you that, I mean, they knew that Lucas was the visual of the group, and they knew that everyone loved him for that.
Yeah.
So you are losing a bit, and you're not, like, Wavy is not a huge, huge group. Like, it's not even the size of 127. It's small. So
Yeah.
it's even more noticeable when someone leaves. So with that being said, I mean, they're doing fan meets out there, they're releasing music, they're trying to do stuff, and they're trying to move forward. So good for them, I think.
Hi, team.
I don't know. Anyways, SM, I don't know what's going on with you, but we might have to have a talk, a more talk about you at the end of the year, see what happens.
Yeah.
Anyways, okay. Gabriel is going to wrap us off.
All right. So, Queen and Puzzle, we've been talking about it like kind of in passing the past few episodes, but it finally started airing. And as of this recording, episode one is available on Viki. And so I watched it. And let me tell you, it is. So it's entertaining, but not for like I feel like not for the right reasons.
Interesting.
So the first thing that they do, as with all of the survival shows, is they have like all the people who are participating like walk into the studio, recording
Right.
studio, and like sit down in the thing, like you know, they're like, oh,
Is this
who's
like a meet and greet?
sort of like they have like a screen that has like taglines of like that describe each member that's participating. So like one of them is like 200 million YouTube views, and then another one is like number one on the charts after however many days after debuting or something like that. So like little descriptors that can describe the people who are participants. And so they're coming in, and there's a few that are like, you know, notable people. Like there's Chaeyoung, there's K from Lovelies, there's like a girl from AOA, there's some people from Weekly, Wooah, there's like Yeon from CLC. So, you know, there's some big name, like fairly big name people. And then the funniest part is when they have like these rant, like there's a girl from Thailand who got famous by doing like a cover of Hype
Wait, a
Boy.
non-idol?
No,
Like a non-debut idol?
she's like a solo artist in Thailand who like she's like a singer-songwriter, and she did a cover of Hype Boy that like blew up and went viral.
I love that one.
And
She's
then
on
she
the
like,
show.
yeah, and she's on the show, and it was so she walks in, and then everyone's like, who is that?
The girl with
Like
the blue
literally everybody.
hair. The
Yeah,
girl
she
with the
has
blue
blue hair. She
hair.
has blue hair, yeah.
Wait, didn't she get kind of, oh, okay, I think I saw a clip and there was like, oh, someone's doing Hype Boy, but it's like overcooked.
I don't know.
It not overcooked. It's like RM, like if Hype Boy were RMB.
Yeah.
Oh, miss, okay.
So there's the Thai girl, and there's like a few others where like they walk in and just like nobody knows who they are. And I feel like, and like for me, when I was watching with my friend, that was just the funniest thing ever because it's like Queendom, like you're on Queendom. Like how do these people not know who they like, you know? Like you're getting people who are like so small that even the participants have no idea who they are.
Right. It's a little strange.
So
Interesting.
yeah, that was a little strange. There's like some non-Korean people. So there's like a girl from Japan, there's the girl from Thailand, there's like a couple others where it's like no one knows who they are. And so that was the first point where I was like, okay, this is a little bit interesting. So they walk in, and when they sit down, they separated all the people participating into different tiers. So like tier one, two, three, and four. Tier one is like K, the AOA girl, Chaeyoung, basically all the bigger name people, and then it goes down from there.
Well, why are they separating them into tiers already?
Because, oh, so I'm gonna get to this.
Oh,
Because
okay.
it's like from the get-go, Queendom Puzzle is like so brutal. That is kind of my analysis from just watching episode one. They separate them into tiers, and then the very first thing they do is they have everybody do a solo performance. Like they literally, so they're all in the studio, they're just sitting there, and they just call them up one by one to like do a performance for like 2 minutes. And then the other participants have little remote things, and they can either upvote or
Right,
downvote
right.
the people. And it
Do you
is
only
really,
get one vote?
yeah. So for
Okay.
each performance, you get one vote. And so like, it's just like so brutal because they show Chaeyoung and she literally downvotes every single person.
Yeah, because she's playing strategically.
I know. And so like, and so the Mnet people already are editing her to make her look like the most evil person in the room. So yeah, that was interesting. And then the other thing I learned after I finished watching episode one is that Chaeyoung left Queendom Puzzle after the first recording. So we're
Oh.
not gonna see her after episode two.
That
Damn, she's
sucks. Was
yeah.
that her, that was that her decision or?
I think so, yeah. I think it
Oh.
was during her like promotion period, and then when her song kind of did well, she like
It
left.
did really well.
So from the get-go, Queendom Puzzle has a lot of new groups who no one knows. They have some like pretty underwhelming like idols that are on there to begin with. So like they have a lot of people who are like either past their prime or like
Right, right, right.
in these groups that like lost members or like haven't had to come back in like a couple years or something. And then they have Chaeyoung leaving, and they have one other girl who also left. I forget who left, but it was like two pretty big name people. So from the get-go, the show is like not off to a great start, in my opinion. And they have to
Ay,
like debut a seven member group at the end. So like three
Oh, so
fourths of
it's an elimination show.
yeah, so it's they're actually going to eliminate people. Like it's not like Queendom, like the regular Queendom, where it's kind of just like,
Whatever you get out of
people
it is
just
whatever you get out of it.
yeah,
Yeah.
like you just perform stages and like everyone has fun and like, well, I don't know if everyone has fun, but they perform stages and like it's more focused on the performance. I think this is more like, this is like an elimination thing, and they're treating these idols as if they're like trainees in a sense. So that's my one qualm with it, is that like these are debuted artists and you're just going to like eliminate them throughout the show as if it's like Girls Planet. Like, I don't think that. I feel like they deserve a little bit more
Respect,
respect than
yeah.
that.
And also, I have a question about the upvotes and downvotes. I mean, like, oftentimes, sure, like, performance could be good or bad, like a binary choice. But oftentimes, it's like, oh, it was really good, but like, this part was maybe lacking or something. Or oftentimes, it's like, oh, it wasn't great, but this is what I really liked about it. So
Yeah,
is it like,
so
it's like it just forces you to choose like good or bad.
yeah, so like in the show they have some performance. So like there's one performance where the AOA girl has like this outfit malfunction where like she's supposed to like pull off like this outer layer skirt thing, and then she like isn't able to do it, so she has to like try like three or four times to do it. And then like after she like fails to like do her outfit change on the stage, like she gets like 10 downvotes. So it's little things like that. And then like if your voice cracks once, like people downvote you.
Savage.
Yeah.
Yeah,
So it's like it's pretty brutal. And then like I think the most memorable performance for me from like episode one was definitely this girl who did a cover of INVU by Taeyeon. And Taeyeon's the MC. And so during the stage, the girl at or the girl lip syncs all of the high notes. Then she like,
Wait,
I
but
think
what this
she,
is what why is it your favorite? Because it's funny.
because it's funny, because like she lip syncs all the high notes and then gets downvoted into like basically, I think she got like 20 something downvotes. So
Does Tan get to vote?
no, Tan's just there. But
A mess.
yeah,
So are
so
you liking the show? Like, are you gonna continue watching it?
I mean, I'm gonna continue watching it because I've already invested 2.5 hours of my life into it.
You gotta wait like until those translations are out.
Yeah, but I'm honestly very skeptical of kind of how the show is going to turn out. Because like there's a lot of idols on here who have fans. Like, it's not like they have no fans. And so, like, when they get eliminated, there's going to be uproar.
Yeah.
Like,
Right.
Mnet's not going to get out of this unscathed, is what I'm thinking.
Oh.
What a mess.
Yeah. And so, honestly, good for Chaeyoung for leaving Queen and Puzzle, because I don't think it would have been a good. I don't think it would have been good for her, to be honest.
Yeah, and they were already painting her as someone evil,
Yeah.
so.
And she's doing well. She might as well work on her repackage instead.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's weird. It's funny because I feel like during the first recording, after she kind of saw everybody else who was participating, I think that may have been a factor in her leaving.
Probably like,
Not
I'm too
good.
good for this shit.
Yeah, no, really. I think
That's a
she
fine
picked.
choice.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we'll see if we end up. I think, if it ends up, you decide that you really like the show, we can do a review of it.
Yeah,
But
I
if
mean,
not,
I'll keep watching. We'll see how it turns out, but I'm
please keep
gonna.
monitoring this
Yeah.
for us.
I'm gonna
Yeah,
watch too.
I'm gonna temper my expectations because I just have a feeling it's not going to turn out very good.
All right. Well, any last thoughts before we close out the episode here today? All right. Thank you to our listeners for tuning in to this episode of Idol Talk Pod. We are on Instagram at Idol Talk Pod. Please rate, review, and subscribe to us on all of our major podcasts and streaming platforms. If you have any feedback or content requests, feel free to email us at idletalkpod@gmail.com. And then we also like to advertise our content directory, idletalkpod.uu.ai, where you'll see previous episodes categorized, including playlists, song recommendations, concert and K-drama reviews, and also information about us. And it can be found in the description of our episodes here. Well, until next time, we'll be back with a K-pop's episode, which is shaping up to have some pretty huge bangers. So we're really excited for that. So we'll be back for next week, and we'll talk to y'all later. Goodbye and good night.
Bye.
I'm Vivian Yoon. Listen to K-pop Dreaming from Elias Studios. I grew up in Koreatown in the 90s, and my friends and I could not get enough of K-pop.
Do you remember SES?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. James
So how did the music that only Korean and Korean Americans listen to become a global cultural force? And what role did LA and Koreatown play in K-pop's rise? K-pop Dreaming. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.